The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Yeah, I know. Because I can't get right. This is cutthroat. This burns as words pop from a snub nose. This Kurt Metzger and not give a fuck mode. Because I can't get right. Because I can't get right. Yeah. You're listening to Can't Get Right.
Hey, this is Can't Get Right with me, Kurt Metzger, and my guest comedy legend Rick Overton, and we start as happens every episode. I start talking with the guest about a more interesting thing than the show will actually be. Like we get in the middle of something interesting, I'm like, let's do this on the show. Then forget to be interesting. That's why I apologize for every show that I do here at Can't Get Right. But you really said something funny about Idiocracy. I think everybody knows the movie Idiocracy. I hope.
Yeah. The importance of sprinkling a very heavy corn syrup sports drink all over your crops to make them die, because Brondo plants crave Brondo because they have electrolytes.
Yes. That's the, we're talking about how you often hear, and people that we know, not to name names, but you hear people repeat these things that are, they're just things you're supposed to say, and they have no bat. And it's like them saying Brondo's got electrolytes. If you ever saw Idiocracy,
plants crave it.
Yeah. I guess if you want to take it out of modern context, the old joke about 9/11 changed everything. They did like a Family Guy episode going 9/11 changed. And they're like, what does that mean? And that's an example of that, that I just hear over and over again.
It reminds me of Brondo. The phrase in the news is repeating everywhere.
Yeah.
Someone else says it like it's their own idea.
Yeah. And it's electrolyte. You don't know what electrolytes are.
No, it's, you sound just like the TV. What? No, I don't.
It really was a great metaphor. I actually think Idiocracy was kind of an optimistic film, because if you remember, they were watching the theater. The most popular film was called Ass, and everybody was laughing. Everybody's laughing because it was the best comedy of the year, right? In stupid future. But you know what? That was a comedy. Like, I just watched a TEDx talk, I'm not making this up, of that singer Lizzo about her like roots of twerking, of like clapping her ass cheeks together. It was a TEDx talk, I should clarify.
And that was a TEDx?
Yeah, that's TED After Dark.
Oh, wow. Right, TED, no, XXX, if you ask
TEDx,
me. Right.
TEDx is not the... But TED is as crappy as TEDx now, if you follow those dogs. And I just watched this thing, not as a comedy. I just watched a fat chick... I mean, the whole speech was fat nonsense. It's like about how self-esteem building to clap your ass together. At least in Idiocracy, they were laughing at the comedy of it. I think that I'm probably personally wrong to have laughed at seeing this TED talk. That's how much dumber the future is than what is in
the... Oh, no, I'm sorry. If you think gluteal cheeks going is funny, if gluteal applause is funny to you, you're canceled, man.
Well, I ask people to snap their ass cheeks instead, or do jazz.
Snap it.
Do jazz cheeks so that if any auditory overload. Anyway, so Rick Overton...
That's more for the beat. That's when you're doing a poem, a beat poem. You want them to snap their butt cheeks at the end.
You know, by the way, Rick, if you go into, I was shooting some show. Oh, some dating show that my friend Jay was hosting, and we go into a like the New Yorican cafe, you know, in New York. So, all the thing of snapping at poems. Let me tell you something. Poets in these poetry places get fucking mad at that. Like it's almost like someone saying, "Let me do your skits or something," to reference the snapping, because I don't know if you know, none of it's that kind of poetry now. It's all slam poetry now, which is like not even poems. It's just kind of talking with a certain cadence. And Jay made a joke about that.
Right.
Jay made a joke about snapping, And they
it's
got
like you
like,
hear music in your head while you are storytelling something, and you're you know, and your yeah. voice
society,
right?
Cause me, it's all it's like if you want to be a rapper but you can't rap, you're just I don't know. It's awful. I find it awful.
Well, every one of those evening is always roughly, and there'll always be 20 minutes of pure. It's just therapy about them.
Yeah, you know, I think.
Have to sort of claw the arms of the chair.
I think that's the overarching thing of all kind of performing stuff that's popular now is that it's not for the customer, it's for you, the person. It's your therapy. You know, yeah, we don't have adequate. Because what are you going to get good mental health care here? You have to get into stand-up comedy and tell people. They'll have to listen.
I'll tell you, it used to be years of getting up on stage and doing comedy. And if you could somehow sneak a laugh out of it, no one caught you at it, you know?
Well, that's the.
A lot of comics are doing therapeutic comedy, man. You know it's true.
Well, it could be there. Look, if it ends up being a symbiotic thing where there's a paying customer who came to laugh. And they're getting to laugh, and then you're getting whatever you're getting out of it. That's not a parasitic relationship. The entire theme, every time I have somebody on, because you, by the way, people who are watching, if you don't know Rick Overton, trust me, you do know him. Because I was just looking in his, I was just looking at your IMDb. I forgot you were in every movie. Like, it's wild. I didn't know you were, here's an obscure one. Well, it's not really obscure, because I fondly remember this movie. But Blind Justice with Rutger Hauer. What were you in that? A gang member?
Blind Fury.
Blind Fury, not Blind Justice. Blind Fury with Rutger Hauer as Zatoichi, the blind swordsman. I don't know if people know
that. Yeah, an Americanization.
Yeah, and it's actually kind of ridiculous, but Rutger Hauer is awesome. Were you one of the henchmen? Is that what you were in that?
Yeah, I have very long hair, and I was with Nick Cassavetes, and it was us and Tex Cobb were the three cowboy hitmen out to kill him.
That's right. Okay. Now,
and Nick and I turned that movie into a comedy because it wasn't really, it was kind of cute and funny, but we turned we stepped it way up because we were improvising all kinds of added stuff. And in dailies, Rutger was watching dailies and he went, and he started hamming it up a little more until the movie, like by the end of the movie.
Really?
That's, you know, we take a little responsibility for that. We got him going.
Was Rutger Hauer like that? Like, because I always heard that in Blade Runner, he improv that whole Tears in the Rain line.
Oh, he's a brilliant improver with the dove at the end in the rain.
Did he bring his own dove? Is that what you're telling me?
Oh, yeah, he did. And he was a wonderful magician. And he could bring it right back. The very professional
Wait,
dove.
I was making a joke. He had, that was his dove? Is that true? Oh,
I'm totally ripping it.
I fell for it immediately. Wait.
Very professional. Dove was such a pro. And, you know, we had a little trouble keeping it away from Crafty. But
So, yeah, he always seemed like he had kind of a good sense of humor. Because that Blind Fury, you know where I first saw that? It was like 12. It was on WPIX 11. You used to play all these like rated R movies on Sundays on regular kind of TV. So I was supposed to watch like, you know, horror movies and violence and stuff. So as a kid, I had a mental log of all the rated R movies that looked interesting to me that I never saw that for some reason, Channel 11, and all they had to do was take out the sex and they could show all the violence. So,
yeah, right.
Which
R.
is pretty cool. R. And by the way, I get it when people go, what, you can't show sex, but you can show violence? Like, yes, of course. The violence is a release. The sex is a potential cause of violence. That's why you can't show that. You could show the money shots all day. That signifies the tension's broken. I don't know why people don't get it, but Blind Fury, before I even knew about Zadok.
Cut to a shake weight ad.
Yeah. How many things now, especially like that? Like that was all immediately, I think that was even at South Park. Like she jerks off the shake weight and it tells her she's like,
Yeah. That was one of the things that the guy in the pitch meeting sold him, man. Like, you know, is.
Well, because you know what?
Forever in infamy for being the guy that pitched that and sold it.
It's really a smart pitch because I imagine they would eat that right up at a place where you're pitching that because it is automatically you think of that. But I just know from experience of writing like stupid patter for like Spike TV and that kind of shit. Like they love a thing that could be this without it being that. is like, yes, that's great. That's like the foundation of selling shit, is like to have a, ooh, like, you know, it's one that they do it with now. They're trying to make it like a shake weight, but shake weight was organic because you go like this. The fucking detergent for dishwashers, and it'll be like, we do it every night. It's like
an old
couple, and you're like, what fuck? And they're like, no, wash our dishes. And you're supposed to go,
innuendo marketing.
Yes. So shake weight's brilliant.
There was a thing called like pearl drops for teeth. And there'd be this blonde mom going, like that on their teeth, like that.
I vaguely remember that.
Then there's another one with a woman in a bathroom of an airliner and hits an intercom. And she's going, oh, yes, yes, because she's washing her hair in the bathroom of the airline.
Yes, right. Yeah,
an orgasm.
The shampoo's going to make you come.
Walk of shame coming out of the bathroom.
Yeah, that's the kind of like moronic clever that they love.
That's one great MASH word. Moronic clever.
Yeah, that portmanteau is also like mashing it together makes it great too.
I love MASH words.
Maybe it's so weird. Yeah.
I think we are a people that lost all our other heroes. And now that's when some sort of charlatan can really step in and start doing some other sort of alternate programming.
You know,
look, we lost. I'm sorry. We lost Superman. We did. We lost him.
Did you think? Because a buddy of mine
starts killing people and bashing through masonry and everything like that. Okay. All right. So Batman. Which one? You're not my Batman. You're my step Batman.
That is true. That's
my real Batman lets me drive this car.
Well, you know, so a friend of mine who's a comic book artist, or he was, he got kind of drummed out of the business of working for DC. He ended up doing way better on his own. Also, great. His name's Ethan Van Sciver. Really great artist, comic book artist. Also, just a great dude. And I'll make it real short, the story of what he got. Because the worst of the worst of if you know, people complain in comedy, which I certainly have, that the worst kind of identity politics, every cliche word, bullshit, infiltrated, stand-up, the business part, not comedy's fine, but the business part of it, absorb that. With comic books, it's 10 times worse. Just a group of the Portland's worst, because just small group of people that gets into an industry. And these industries are very exploitive. In fact, he clued me into stuff that I always suspected but didn't know, which is every time you hear about Superman's different, or for example, Superman's queer, not gay. Every time you hear about a thing with Superman like that, where they're changing him to be a different color, there's one reason that these companies do that, and it's to avoid having to pay the family of the creators. They have to change it by this much. So every time you see a thing that's like, hey, guess what? Something, or like Star Wars, because a bunch of fans were mad. And if you are a fan of that, I would be fucking mad too, because they completely cocked up a thing that I remember. There should be a slam dunk. There shouldn't be a controversy whether like people like Star Wars or not. And it's like, it became like a thing where it's like, you're like alt-right or you're to the left, depending on how you, in real life, nothing will ever shift naturally. But in the movie world, that's where you can work your left versus right puppet show out. You know,
Getting a little tired of the marketing of the idea that like on The Expanse that I'm the evil socialist leader of the Belters who will,
I didn't see,
because we believe in socialism and hippie values, we're gonna launch meteors at Earth, destroying entire cities at a time.
Wait, hold on, because I've only watched YouTube summaries of The Expanse, what it was about. I always spoil everything before I watch it because I want to know if I'm going to want to watch it. Now, I've heard that's a good show.
They had all the commercials show that too. The evil leader of the Belters is destroying Earth and we have to go get him. And,
so the Belters are socialist?
Socialist leader.
Is that what it is? Are they socialist?
They're supposed to be the hippie rebels. And there's a couple of
other hippies, very like different. Wait a minute.
Even if it's Bane, even fucking Bane.
Oh, right.
the one that was supposed to be bringing, you have time, you know, even though I've played the people, I will randomly kill people too, which, you know, I don't know any actual people on the left who have that added feature to the value system.
Well, I mean, did you not hang out with Che Guevara back in the day?
No, I did. Sorry. Yes, I know, Che.
Well,
yeah.
This is what's interesting.
You're talking about B-side Che. Yeah.
Yeah, no, everybody, I mean, that's why I love, the French Revolution story with like Robespierre, like that it's a guy who's a pacifist. Do you ever hear that? You know that story of the Jacobin Revolution in France when they overthrew the monarchy. And then the guy who's a pacifist, Robespierre, because way back when all this like weird social fucking guillotine shit, I was like, this is like French Revolution. Like, I imagine these people on Twitter as like a cackling French crone from when they fall of the monarchy, right? And so, and I watch a lot of I really try to watch a lot of stuff of like, because there's people that are like, no, Robespierre is great. You know, there's like, who's that communist guy, Slavoj Žižek? The guy who's always like twitching while he's telling it. He's like a big time philosopher. And I always watch these debates. So I've heard like people defend it and not defend it, but what I find fascinating is Robespierre is a guy who's nonviolent. He doesn't believe in the death penalty, you know? And as he gets in power, the ridiculous things he starts to do. Now, I'm sure they had people trying to undermine the revolution right and left. It was royalist time, so that's not a lie.
But the thing is, he's a parable for countless other people.
Yeah, and the thing is,
entering a position of power, I mean, whether it's Robespierre or, you know, Justin Trudeau or whatever, you know.
Yeah, right. And that's the thing I find, because I have so little. That's why I'm curious about that show, if they overtly are saying it's socialism, because I would hear, you would think things like Star Trek was always a favorable, even though they didn't have scarcity of resources, right? So it's not easy to do socialism if there's plenty of shit. I mean, not that there's not plenty for everybody, by the way, in real life, but that's how Star Trek is so like how it is. And then I see little political battles about it, which is interesting. I don't understand how people are still hung up on the terms. Like, you know, socialism's neither a, I know people, I've had people, I just had a guy on last week who is a right-wing comedian from Scotland, okay? And he had gotten like canceled because, and by cancel, I mean an attempt at canceling, because he had Leo Kurse. He's a young dude. But I'm talking to him, and you know, he's at first saying right-wing, like he's like, yeah, you know, low taxes in a Scottish accent. And then I ask him, because I brought up the thing, I'm like, well, what about like, I just done Jimmy's show about how they were about to get rid of surprise insurance payments for if you have medical care. There was a bipartisan thing to put an end to that. At the last minute, a Democrat who I never heard of kills it because he's owned by fucking pharma. And, you know, they can't negotiate. So I'm telling him that, I go, you know, because he's talking about the government out of it. And it was hilarious. And this is a guy who's right wing. Okay. And he goes, oh no, not healthcare. I mean, obviously that should be a thing that your taxes.
No. Yeah, keep that part aside.
that's because he's from Europe and he's a right-wing guy. It's so amazing. It's so mind-blowing to me because I always bring it up if I talk to them.
Sewage and roads.
Huh?
Oh no, not sewage or roads.
Yeah, but they'll say, that's why I think these terms are so stretched and meaningless depending on where you're at. And so I don't care if somebody's socialist or like that lost all meaning to me back when they kept accusing Obama of being a socialist for enacting the Mitt Romney plan. That sucks.
All the words, every good word has been absconded. We lost liberal ages ago. We lost progressive. They're coming for the general. They want the direction left. They're coming for that now. entered the Overton window.
Yeah, there's a series on Gods in America. It's called on Stars that I'm. It's all about like, it's a Neil Gaiman book they made into a series. But there's one part where because all these there's like new gods and old gods. You know, there's like Thor and those kind of gods, and they're it's in modern times. And then there's the new gods, and one of them is called Mr. World, and I don't want to spoil the series, but he says a thing that's really interesting about like, you know, yeah, it's about choice. He goes, yes, you know, what do you want? Chunky style or smooth? He goes, yes, of course you get a choice, but you're still buying salsa. Like, That sums it up. That's a well-written thing. That sums it up. Like, you're still buying salsa. And I'm blown away with the parts that are like, people just have those like as constants. And, you know, like this guy, he's a right-wing guy, is telling me. And he's like, would be a communist if he brought up that healthcare thing that he believes. And that's why I can't stand the little buzz phrases to go by that, because it's an attempt to encode a lot of information into one word, a lot of incorrect information. And, I don't know. It's like cheap labels. And I noticed the more people get into that, the more you pay attention to nonsense instead of just the substance. Like, I don't care if somebody is any label. You can be like, this is a communist, a communo-fascist. I don't give a shit what you call them. Like, what do you do? I just care, what did you actually do, you know? And everything seems geared toward making it so you never focus on that. You only focus on aesthetics you're saying all the heroes they get rid of, like,
well, yeah, it's, hero, I think, is, deliberate, yeah, erasure of everything that subculture had taken what would have been the mind of somebody in the 1600s, and you plug a jack into their head, you look at the needle for how much attention has been given to the papacy and to the church, and you get, oh good, we're getting 80% all of your thoughts during the day to that. And then you go to a guy in the 1990s and jack into his head, and it's, how much do you love Captain Kirk? How much do you love Skywalker or Obi-Wan or Yoda or all those other things? And it's the needles almost sometimes further along, because there's a more tangible, you can touch and hold the artifacts of this religion, you know?
Beneath
you.
Well, you know what happens, Rick? That's a good point.
Absorbing it like with all the same fervor until all of them are killed, and turn Luke into some guy drinking green milk and he's drunk on it.
No, dude, they like, what happens is like, I was in a religion, like when you just fall out of faith, a bunch of these people don't care about it anymore. I mean, that's what happens. The people leave their faith when they don't like their. So, like I said, I have a bunch of friends that have channels that are dedicated to pop culture nonsense, right? And what I find fascinating is not, like, especially Star Wars, the Byzantine kind of Game of Thrones goings on in the executive level about how to corporate fuck this IP up. That's infinitely more interesting now than actual Star Wars.
Yeah.
So that's the stuff I follow, because you know Bill Burr, right?
I did.
Yeah, Bill's on that. He was on that show where they fired. They fired that chick for saying, you know,
Gina Carano.
Yeah, for a thing that wasn't controversial. I didn't understand it. Why she was like, don't act like, you know, Nazis got their neighbors to hate each other. It didn't just wasn't Nazis overnight. Which, by the way, fair point. Which is a point Jimmy makes all the time about the hating your neighbors, where that shit starts. And so she got fired for anti-Semitism. That was the official reason, which, like, the press and all them wrote. Now, the thing is interesting is the whole behind the scenes is, like, that's a clear book. It almost parallels political shit, you see. I mean, it's kind of exactly the same thing, except it's of, you know, entertainment power. And so the ins and outs of that are so amazing. And it's so interesting to watch a thing that, you know, George Lucas, and this, it wasn't like, George Lucas was making toys to sell. You know, that's what he was making when he made this thing. But it was one guy's fucking vision, mostly. Not in the editing and all that, but the creativity of it. It's amazing watching a corporation take that. And even if, I remember his prequels came out when I was in my 20s. Everybody hated them, the ones George Lucas made. And then Disney does it, and everybody's like, oh my God, we did not give George Lucas enough credit. And it's because it's like the human touch was still there, at least when it sucked him doing it. And now you can see the committee and all these people that are mad about this stuff. Like, they don't know how to express themselves, half of them. Like, I always hear them ridiculed of, like, because they don't want politics in there. And people are like, there's always politics. And like, that's not what they mean. What they mean is they don't want your nonsense. It sticks out when you mix it into the recipe. The shitty flavor sticks out. They want you to stop putting that ingredient in that you insist on putting in, which is like this corporate ESG score, fake fucking,
Virtue signaling is the phrase, right?
Yeah, I don't even want to use it because then I feel like I blank out when people say it, even though I agree with that term. That's the term for it. But yes, they're trying to tell you that, and they don't have college educations, all of them, to tell you. And the people, you know, now, at this point, I understand the game better of them. Yes, they know that. They're just like, this is our political way of saying fuck you, because we get, you know, all this stuff is almost all investor funded now. Like, so this channel I'm on, Gas Digital, Lewis's channel. I have another buddy out here who has a channel that I think Tim Dillon's on.
Well, and they don't act like they care as much about how the fans see it anymore. That's for sure.
But Gas Digital
it doesn't
does.
Look like their funding matters as much to them anymore.
So like Jimmy's funding on his show is Matt. Like it's people that want what he's doing. They're not. That's it's not
absolutely the antithesis.
So, right. So that Young Turks shit of, you know, we get a Jeffrey Katzenberg money. That's everything. I didn't know the degree that it was. I had no idea how much that was. And I was talking to an ex-girlfriend. She works in this. She was helping Wells Fargo comply with for ESG scores. You know, ESG, environmental social governance. It's like a woke FICA score for corporations. That's why. That's why all those really bizarre, where you're like, what the fuck am I looking at? It's because they get some kind of, I used to joke, like, is this like a tax, do they get like a tax credit or something for this shit? Because who wants it? That's what it is. They are getting that. So it's called stakeholder capitalism. It's, of course, it's the after Occupy Wall Street, all those rich people were paying close attention and they were like, how can we have this leftist energy and also sacrifice nothing? Oh, I know.
Yeah, right. And risk so, in reality, materially.
On paper, it doesn't sound bad. ESG is like, okay, I'm investing in a company and I want to know what their corporate atmosphere is like, because what if there's a harassment problem and they're going to, it ruins the stock. Like there's a legitimate reason on paper, but like everything else, it just breaks down into like chasing a number nonsense because you're looking for money. So all the humanity is just drained out of whatever the intention. It's always what, like when they test a pig's intelligence, you know, like a dog will knock a golf ball into a thing with his nose, right? For food. A pig will just pick it up in his mouth and drop it in the hole because he's too smart to do something as dumb as knock it in like a dog. That's what all these things are. Like the pig knows how, the pig wants the money.
Yeah,
and
right.
The pig's just going to drop the ball. The pig doesn't give a shit about like the game of knocking it with his nose, and everything becomes that. And it's, people still want to believe that you can combine. We were talking about it, dude, about charities, like a salaried person at a charity. So now your profit motive is now against solving this problem because you need to remain employed.
Oh, Lampreys drain, you know, massive amounts of that money into themselves before the people who were supposed to be getting it, even they see a penny of it.
I wouldn't donate to anything at a store. I don't even know. I was watching a South Park about it. It was funny. I don't know if I'm like that much different now, but South Park is a funny episode from a while ago where everybody decides to hang reality. And it was Randy, the dad. The dad's great on that show. He's always the one that's like pop neoliberal. He's into it, you know, even though he's middle-aged. So he got,
no,
that's Flanders. The dad on South Park is a great idiot. He really is. He's not like Homer or something. He's like the new kind of like Rob Reiner-fied kind of guy.
Okay.
You know, and he's at the Whole Foods and they keep asking him for like a dollar for hungry kids and he feels guilty not giving it and like he's being shamed, you know, and the guy's like, okay, if you don't want to help hungry kids. And this is back when Whole Foods was doing this, so they must have been shopping at Whole Foods and coming up with this joke. And I'm thinking about, I'm like, I wouldn't even think twice about refusing. I don't know who like can be guilted like that. Like you just assume that it goes because they say hungry kids. Maybe I lived in New York too long. I like, you know, in New York they had all these like homeless water coolers that said UHO, and there'd be like five people. I helped the homeless, and I saw it for years. Okay, and they have a big jar, and people giving money for the homeless, and it turned out to be a scam. Like it came out on the, and I'm just like, who would believe any of these things?
Well, our best nature will always be preyed upon, and the greatest crime would be that best nature no longer is available. You know, that would be the,
yeah, that's
of
a
all
good point.
Crimes, that would be the greatest of them, rather than a few bucks here and there.
No, I agree. I think you're totally right about that. In fact, it was funny. I was doing Jimmy's show and they're talking about some homeless thing out, you know, out here. It's crazy. New York's got a homeless problem. But here in LA, I'm blown away. But there's something so stark about it being in like a suburban area compared to being in a city that's kind of grimy. So you'd get numb to it very. I used to have a joke about it, like how you can't believe how quick you get numb to human homelessness and glue traps for mice, the cruelest trap there is that I would be shudder to use. I had a mouse problem. I mean, you can't believe how fast I would leave the mouse on there as a warning. I didn't give a fuck. After that's what the city does. It makes you like that. So it's strange here because it's such a sunny kind of suburb, you know, to see it like that kind of stuck. That's like a bizarre level of you know, whatever. I mean, it's really piling up. But anyway, Jimmy's saying
it really has to do with comfort and ease of, and it's the same reason the mandates are easier to force on people that had sort of spoon-fed, like H.G. Wells' is Time Machine Eloy people of the future.
I was just thinking that before, dude. It reminds me of that.
Because the Morlocks are planning to, you know, bring them downstairs and eat them.
I mean, I was just thinking that same thing, like the pretty blonde people and then these... That's, you're right, dude. But so Jimmy said something about you could end homelessness for a certain amount of money. And I've heard that before. And I always thought it was like, okay, but there's more to homelessness than just the money of it. Like, you know, I used to be hooked on Oxycontin. I have a joke about it. I used to be hooked on Oxycontin for quite some time. And I don't even know what the hell I spent on Oxycontin. I don't even like to think about it because it was probably a lot. Like I did it to the point where I was either going to have to switch to heroin because it's better for your liver. That's what the doctor told me.
And you still have hearing.
And did you know Barry Crimmins at all?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, so he's a good friend of mine. So Barry, this is what I love about Barry. He was like, he believed in the inalienable right to self-medicate. Now, I don't know if he was right about that, but I just loved his arguments. And anyway, I ran out of, so I was going to have, now this is years before you heard this about this all the time, but I had nothing, no more pills. And not because I couldn't afford them. They just couldn't get them, you know? And so when you're hooked on that shit, I was taking a crazy amount of these blue Oxycontins. Oh my God. I actually was looking forward to taking this break to tell you about our good friends at rockauto.com, the online store with every auto part at the best prices. Do you need auto parts? Do you like fixing your car? Are you a real man, unlike me? Or a woman? Whatever. If you're into auto parts and you need auto parts, or maybe you work at a garage, cars are a big business. You need stuff for them. You don't want a hassle. You want it to be easy. You'd like a one-stop shop. That's what you need. Well, why not try rockauto.com? They've been in business for 20 years, and they make it easy to find the parts you need at the best possible prices. You don't have to go through jabbering at grease monkeys. I mean, no offense. I guess you'd be fixing the car. You would be the grease monkey. So the grease monkey helper. The point is you could do it online. At rockauto.com, you can easily find everything you need. And whether you're a mechanic, an auto shop, or working on your own car, everyone has access to the same incredible pricing at rockauto.com. So if you're a car person, right now go to rockauto.com and check out all the parts available for your car. You're going to have so much fun looking at car parts. You car-loving weirdo. Once more, go to rockauto.com. No promo code needed, as their pricing is already that good. And when you order, for the love of God, tell rockauto.com that you heard about them on Can't Get Right with me, Kurt Metzger. Let them know that I'm spreading the good word about rockauto.com. All right, let's get back to the show. So a friend of mine gave me, he goes, I have these like patches. They were fentanyl patches, which I had heard of. Because a bunch of pro wrestlers from back in the day that I knew
were
fentanyl. They're huge guys.
Tick, tick, bang.
Yeah, and I looked it up because I was like, all right, because I knew that it's like a cancer. This was like for some cancer patient, these patches. Mm. And even as much oxy as I had done, that was going to be a step up in a dose. And I wasn't like that crazy. So I look it up trying to find a way to like, I don't know, can you like cut a little out it or something, you know? And they're made so they'll kill you. They're just made on purpose so you can't do that. And so Barry was like, oh, let me have them. I'm like, Barry, I don't want to give these to you. you know, because this is like heavy shit. This is before you even heard as much as you do now. But if you look up the drug, it's crazy. So Barry goes, I'm a 62-year-old grown man. I'm not a child. He gave me that go. All right, man. So I gave it to him. And then he called me up. He goes, yeah, I chickened out. I couldn't find any safe way to do it.
Like, good. Yeah, right. Yes,
I ended up going on Suboxone. That's what they give you if you like go to a doctor and you're like, hey, I'm hooked on these. It's a fairly common problem. And I had insurance that was from Writers Guild that was decent enough that I figured I could go. So my doctor, give me Suboxone. And Suboxone basically blocks the... Now, somebody who's never done this stuff could get probably very high off it. I didn't. It just made it so I didn't get sick. And if I did try to take stuff, it would block it, so I wouldn't be able to get a high. It's like a mix of... Anyway, that shit's worse to come off of than OxyContin. If I just had the withdrawals of OxyContin, that would be less bad than the withdrawals of Suboxone. Okay. Basically, they'll just keep you on that forever. So,
that's maintenance is the whole point.
Yeah. And I legitimately didn't want to be on the, like, I was like, I don't want to be on this shit anymore because this other stuff isn't good for you either. You know, I got off Suboxone. This isn't like any kind of official endorsement, but I was taking Kratom, which I always avoided.
Kratom, sure. And, I haven't done it, but I have some friends who say it's very good.
Well, it's not like, if you've done a lot of opiates and you go off them, you're going to have some pain. There ain't no getting around that part. But I will say this leaf that the makers of OxyContin and somebody else tried to lobby to make it illegal, this thing that you can't OD from, by the way, because it doesn't depress your respiratory system. Now, if you OD on it, you'll get very sick. You'll throw up, which I did when I first tried. It was awful. But you don't stop breathing and die the way these opioids that are much worse for you do. And also, if you were taking this stuff all the time, you're not going to not feel, it's not going to be like you're not feeling anything, but it's not going to be anywhere near what a Suboxone or a OxyContin feels like to come off of. And by the way, those are, you can't die from that. You feel like you're going to die, but it won't kill you. Alcohol and Xanax?
Where you can die is from one of those gummies. And I knew because a friend snuck one of those gummies on me and I didn't know which kind of bear it was. It was a reefer bear. And for God's sakes.
I have suffered a complete ego death from a...
the non-adjustment to edibles in the stomach creates this panic. Someone's dying because of the way it hits your renals and your kidneys for a moment. But you get right.
Somebody else told me that.
Right after.
Somebody... You know Rob Cantrell, the comic Rob Cantrell?
Yeah, sure, Rob Cantrell.
So years ago in New York, I was in the subway, and I used to have a day job at this furniture place I can't remember where in the city, but there's all these gay, they're really nice to me, these gay guys. I ended up quitting because I felt guilty taking a draw because I sucked at the job, but there's a photographer across the hall who found weed for me because I couldn't, you know, this is a long time ago where you just couldn't just get weed every, and I got
all
so
right,
high.
Sure, of course. In the old days.
This weed was so strong. I couldn't believe, I go home and I'm losing my mind and I'm packed in on the subway and then I bump into Rob Cantrell. And he goes, oh yeah. And he said what you said. He goes, it's kind of like a mini diabetic shock. Like you drink some Coca-Cola or something. And I did and it helped. I need a little blood sugar. Because he mentioned parts of what you said and he said it's like some kind of like diabetic reaction similar, like it, you like freak out and get anxiety. And
people, they get that freak out, got to call the cops, I'm dying. And they got 911 has this giant separate category of just I'm dying from an edible calls, you know?
Yeah. I one time, it's embarrassing that I did this, but it's in New York. I took maybe it was edibles I took, okay? But I also drank 5-hour energy. So the edibles was strong. And I was drinking
natural speedball.
Right. And I'm like, oh, this doesn't feel right. And I had a little bit of Xanax. So I took that, not that much. I took it like to calm down. I'm like, I just got to calm down. But then it wasn't working. I just felt more anxious. And I go, oh my God, I'm going to die. So I call up, you know, Stu Kamens. Did you ever know Stu Kamens?
Not very close, but yes.
Okay. So Stu, he's a comic, was around for a while and he's had some problems with heroin and shit, but he's an experienced guy that I knew Because I'm like, okay, I'm freaking out. Sure. And I know I'm probably just freaking out. So I call, I go, dude, I told him, because it's stupid to think you're going to die from it. I go, dude, that feels crazy. He goes, well, if you feel like you have a heart attack, you might be. I mean, you should call the doctor. That he was no help whatsoever. Because if you worry, you call a doctor. So I called 911, okay? Because I'm sure now I'm going to die. And then after I get off the phone, I send an ambulance. I suddenly feel immediately better. Like, the Xanax kicked in, and I felt not only, first of all, I felt great. And I was like, oh, God, Jesus. So you know what I did? I called 911 back to tell them, listen, and the lady goes, you got to tell the ambulance. So I got the same woman, by the way. And she goes, you're just going to have to deal with the ambulance. I don't know what to tell you. I'm like, I'm like, you're the biggest asshole. You're like, okay, that's fair. And I'm like, I go out to meet the ambulance. Now, my block was kind of crazy. There's ambulances there all the fucking time. All kinds of stuff. I actually really miss the bus.
Important to know which taxi is yours.
Yeah. And all the neighbors watch everything. Like, but I very much like this neighborhood. It was Washington Heights. It was not far from the hospital. I come out and I tell the ambulance, I'm like, listen, I'm really embarrassed. I'm really, like, I couldn't have been more humiliated telling them. They're like, yeah, dude, we get like four of these fucking 5-hour energy drinks. They were like nice, pretty nice about it, all things considered, that I just wasted their fucking time. But apparently the whole city's wasting their time every day with edibles and 5-hour energy cocktails, thinking they're going to die. It happens all the time.
Oh,
I wonder how much the 911 is
not people alone. That's, you know, that's like, there should be a group.
So
there should be a group of just people who did edibles and 5-hour energy drink. Then they sit in a circle and tell their story.
I was at a concert. I didn't want to take anything hard. And I was at the Emmys. I was at Thanksgiving.
I started crying at the turkey. I felt bad for the turkey.
I just got overwhelmed.
What have we done? He's holding the knife. What have I done? Oh my God, I'm dirty.
Does anybody do that?
With his clothes on. Nobody, dirty.
You would have to be under the influence, because nobody feels bad partway through the turkey for the turkey. Because you know why? Once it's done, it's so golden. It's so edible looking. It's almost be a crime to waste the turkey. I mean, you did kill him. You might as well eat him. Turkeys are a terrible animal too, by the way. Did you ever see My Life as a Turkey on PBS? It was on years ago.
No.
This guy, he walked with, like, that guy who lives with wolves. He lived with turkeys.
They accepted him?
No. As when they're young, they would follow him around. It's real cute. And they're his friends. He names them. As soon as they hit puberty, turkey puberty, they immediately would try to attack him and claw his eyes out. They all go for the eyes. That's their first move. And they're huge. They're like dinosaur-sized birds.
Man, they are brontosauruses. But they're meaner than a bronto.
Yeah, and one by one, they all attacked and left him, except his favorite one, who was named Turkey Boy. And that was the last turkey that stayed with him. Oh, that's nice. And one day they let him by a log, and he just goes for his eyes. So the guy learns you can't be friends with a turkey. Like, turkeys have no loyalty.
It's like a zombie film. This one, the turkey's going to turn.
They all turn. I would have no guilt about. I remember Fiona Apple released a message about
that. I don't want to work with an 8-year-old chimp.
That's the craziest thing. You want to work
with a 4-month-old chimp or something like that.
You know what it reminds me of? Those chimps.
Once everything kicks in, man.
Don't they seem like if humans that are just very literal, like everything in society is like taking your balls or losing face, right? Like, it's all of human interaction is the fear of losing face, or like they're taking your balls. And chimps, that's what they do. They bite your face off and they tear your balls off. That's their two moves, because they haven't evolved enough to do it metaphorically.
Well, they live in sort of the early innocence of id.
Yeah, is that what it is? I guess that's what it is, right? I don't. So wait.
Take me to grab and then learn the politics of who takes and wants and who grabs. What happens when I try?
Yeah, right. Which one is
you it? Get that real simple, it, you know, negotiation. You get more than me. How yeah, did you right. do it? I'll
That's
copy
what
you.
It is. Like, it is that, is what you're saying. Is that what it is? I know it's super ego id.
There has to be some of it. A lot of animals do that. You know, they can be on four legs or two or whatever.
No, but that, like, what do I get? What happens if I do this? Like, that's pure instinct thing?
Elks do it.
Yeah, right.
Who's going to be the boss, whatever, around here? And how? What's it's a rooster will do it.
Yeah, right. It reminds me of a... I wrote this pilot for a Canadian cartoon show that was like a fake Power Rangers. And they had a new Black Ranger, you know, because their Black Ranger keeps getting killed, getting shot by the cops at this. This is a long time ago I made this.
I didn't know that. I don't watch that. I didn't
see
that.
They didn't make this script. But anyway, the one Blue Ranger, they're showing him around. And he keeps asking him to see his dick. And the guy's like, what is your problem? And he goes, no, just to see who should be in charge. Like, that's how they decide. And so the guy's like, all right. And then you see the guy salute. That really is a...
That's like really, dogs mounting each other for authority purposes, right?
Yeah, well, I was doing a dumb joke about... Because it is true that red ties are power ties because they're a... It means like virility of your dick. Like for some reason, a red dick is the one that subconsciously...
The blood is still flowing to his dick. Look at it.
Yeah, like it's
red. It's Santa red. It's red as Santa's jacket.
I mean, it couldn't be more. Just the thought of that, of like if you could explain to gorillas what a tie is, they would definitely, you know, if you explain it to chimp, they'd be like, oh, that's amazing. That'd be like the greatest invention, like a thing that indicates my dick is really red.
Immediate needs. It's your esoterica only matters to them if they are conditioned to know there's a treat at the end of it. It means nothing to them otherwise. But, you know, sometimes when they make tools, then, especially if they feel like that was their idea, they treat a thing that they gave birth to with a different level of reverence and behavior, you know.
Really? What do you mean? So if they, like, let's say you figured out to poke the ant with a stick.
A human teaches them a certain trick. It has to still be something that matters, like starting a fire. Now they know the orangutan in particular is our closest. Maybe
really?
Starting
a fire?
Yeah, they're the closest to us. They are now starting fires with matches and lighters and then putting marshmallows on sticks. And we're well into tool use now.
Oh, that I didn't
pigs
know.
Pigs are using tools now.
You there's said a pigs?
Pig. There's a footage of this pig getting a kind of a flat stick and digging.
Yeah, they're smart.
Rotting a hole out at three times the normal speed of all the other pigs.
Did you know pig, like,
it's just flying out like a machine.
Dude, there you know, there was a craze of getting pot-bellied pigs, you know, or they called them miniature pigs.
Sure.
But
Vietnamese pot-bellied pig. Yep.
Yeah, and apparently and they really are adorable. I'd made some pilot with him where he got a pig for it. We had this wrapping pig. And a guy, he had a trainer, and it was the cutest thing I've ever seen in my life. And it would, like, he'd feed it a grape, and it had, like, a little human mouth. It'd be like, mm. And they're very smart. So I was just looking up, like, it's not a thing to get unless you're, like, loaded and can have somebody take it. It's like, unless you have a prop, not New York, I mean. And if you have, like, a property, you could have pigs. But they get huge.
A house though, all day.
There's nothing about them that is miniature. They're going to become a full-size pig, which is enormous.
You bet.
But they're very, so it said like they know they can stack things in your house to get food on shelves. They problem solve like that, which I was like blown away by.
You've seen crows, right?
No, pigs will do that. Apparently.
Have you seen problem solving crows?
I know the Aesop fable, but I imagine that was based on a real crow that there's put pebbles in the water until it rose.
Right. There's a crow that knows how to do that. That knows
Haven't
how
they always been like that? Because that fable.
They have an understanding of basic physics and displacement and things
how,
like
that. How do they know that?
The highly intelligent raptor bird, a raptor, has to use a sort of hunter's problem-solving mind. Of course, I guess the prey does too, but they sort of rely on their numbers, whereas the crow has to rely on figuring out where all the food supplies are, but they are self-entertaining birds. There's footage of a crow on a snowy roof with a jar lid in its beak. It sets it on top of the snow, gets on top of it, and slides down to the bottom.
Really?
At the water catch, and then flies up, puts it in his mouth, comes up, and does it again.
Wait, on a jar lid?
Yes, like a...
Mike, will you Google that? A crow slides on jar lid? I actually want to see that. That's wild.
It needs entertainment.
How do you... that's like a massive play is like a big sign. I know that. Well, have you... is this it?
No. Well, that might be another... Oh, that's a fun one. Yeah. That's another great one. But there's one on a rooftop of a house. There's a great one of a roof. But that's... It is the same trait, by the way.
Did you ever see the one... It was like one of those deep, big blue ocean, you know, big time documentaries that came out on History Channel.
Ocean Life?
It's like Blue Planet or something. But... And it was, I think it was Richard Attenborough narrating. So it was like an official thing, you know. Yeah. But they were, this is what I thought, they had these little hermit crabs that don't have brain. They got like, I don't know how many brain cells they got, but there's an octopus. An octopus is super smart compared to like a dog, let's say. It's another one. You know, octopuses are well known. So this octopus is eating them as they come through. And then one of the hermit crabs picks up a sea anemone and puts it on his shell so that the octopus gets stung. So that's like a crazy problem solving with something that has not really a discernible brain, which is wild. Like, I wonder what that is. Yeah. When you see them being really Disney-like, it's mind-blowing.
Yeah. That's it. There's the footage. Watch this. Look at this.
Oh, that's wild.
Watch for the... Now watch what he does to reset. That was an okay run.
Yeah.
That wasn't bad. We can do better.
Oh. They were going to shut. Wow, that's something. I never saw that. That's fucking crazy.
Testament to boredom.
Yeah, but you got to be smart.
Boredom for an animal that has to live on its own wits all day, every day, looking for food, and it still got bored somehow.
Yeah, that's the thing I find wild is that I think of my dad, like, if you got time to be bored, you have time to work. You could be, you're bored because you're not doing anything useful. That's why. There's oddly a lot of videos of crows. I like that they're getting, there's a lot now. Well, this was prophesied in Revelation. The crows would slide down the roof and the...
Yes, and there would be much gnashing of beaks.
Yeah, the gnashing of beaks. do you think, what do you think that is? That if it's, I was reading a thing about, did you know this, by the way? I think maybe it's common knowledge now, but like lemmings don't do that thing that everybody knows them for. That was just the
producer went, scaring them.
Yeah, they just took them someplace where they didn't know where they were and they plunged their deaths.
Hand them off the cliff for we need the shot.
Because they were, yeah, and then, but, I didn't know black widow spiders, the same thing. They only do that in captivity, eat the males. The whole thing that black widows are known for, they don't do unless they're captured. The
captivity thing is because there's not enough food once they're in captivity.
Yeah, they act like animals when they're in
Very civilized out of the mountains.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, especially here, like alpha, you know, the whole fucking what level of male and all that. A lot of that stuff is in captivity. It's not stuff that happens in the wild as much. Like what wolves, they always talk about wolves, like in captivity, wolves get like that. They have, you know, gorillas and stuff. They have like their.
They're not happy.
Yeah.
And just people we see around us being compressed and not happy. And suddenly they're throwing shit at everything. And, you know, they're changing their behavior too. But for the same reason, they're sensing the cage too.
But a lot of these people are born in it, I notice, and they're very comfy with it. There's a whole different like generation that I didn't realize that are like, I don't know if they're, it's just that they're autistic, but it's got a lot to do with it. And are you familiar with Chris Chan? It's a big hole. All right, will you just put in Chris Chan, Mike, just so I can show Rick Chris Chan? This is a thing that I just became aware of in the last few months. Okay. So Chris Chan was this kid in, or he was a kid. He was like 23. It was like 2009. This video goes viral. This is around Tosh.0 days, right? But I never heard of this. It seems like something you would have seen, or Web Redemption. This is an autistic guy, clearly. He's got this stripy shirt. He's got a medallion he made out of like Play-Doh or some kind of molding thing of, okay. It was of Pikachu and Sonic the Hedgehog mixed together. He had this, his original character was called Sonichu, which is not very original. Okay. And he's got this medallion on and he's doing a presentation on his webcam because he's good with computers because he's autistic. And he's talking about how it's wrong to be gay. Okay. So it went viral because, you know, people are like, oh my God, look at this. And putting Chris Chan first video. This is, here's what's amazing about this. He's the most, it's almost like the Truman Show, what it would be in real life, how it would work out. And he's the most trolled. The trolling of this guy, because he wouldn't get off the computer too. He had these two parents that kind of spoiled him. He's a grown man. He went on a love quest at his college. He got kicked out. He put up a sign that said, looking for a boyfriend, free girl. He has this thing about how girls always have boyfriends. You start to feel bad for him for a minute. And then he has this thing, looking for a boyfriend, free girl, to be whatever. And it's like, no blacks. Every time you start to feel bad for him, he tosses in some awful, like, either... okay.
Need a deal breaker and back.
Your children's children.
Now listen, I'm...
Okay,
wait. Sure what this is.
So wait, this is why it's important. So time goes on. So people are trolling him, right? Then it becomes where certain trolls now start protecting him from other trolls. And there's like these gang wars. Because these are also other autistic people, by the way, doing this to each other online. Okay? In 2014, I'm cutting out wide swaths because it's amazing. 2014, he transitions to a woman. I'm fairly certain it was because some trolls told him that he won't be responsible for his behavior if he transitions, and he believed it. I think that's what happened, because behavior is crazy, the stuff he would do. Okay, then this whole saga goes, I'm just gonna cut long story short. The reason I became aware of him, because he got arrested recently for fucking his mom. And by fucking, it was assault, she's senile. That's what became him. So this is the most online person. Remember the singularity, the thing they would talk about, where all our technology will all come together and the interconnectedness. I think that's the singularity. I think it's this person. I think that is the ultimate of where all, like what happens with all the perfectly on technology, you become this person. Like it's almost like, I don't look, he's the metaphor for all of it to me, this guy, of somebody like where it's like this unhealthy online thing and like this crazy kind of AI forms and like a whole ecosystem of it. And then, it's just amazing. Like, and I think people get more like that with it. It has something to do with autism. I don't know why, but I don't know what causes that, you know, I don't know if people just weren't diagnosing it a lot when people had it, but a lot of the worst of the internet that you see is people that are emotionally handicapped in a way and they don't know how to relate. And it reminds me when I was a Bible person and the Tower of Babel. You know the Tower of Babel story? That they were going to build a tower and we're going to be God. And then God confused their language so they couldn't talk to each other. That seems like what this is. Like, we're going to build this network and everybody's going to be linked. And then we're going to be the God and the machine. I mean, I've heard that quote.
Parables about distribution of societies.
Yes. And then God and now people literally can't talk. Like, people speak the same language cannot speak the same language now.
Well, you know, I'd say there's a broad, well, like they say, it's a spectrum, right? It's on a spectral range. And there's a broad range of people who will fit in one of the categories of its wide ranging wings. A lot of people in entertainment are on that spectrum and were creative because they were in a condition as a child where traditionalism wasn't going to be such a great servant to them for their lives. It wasn't working. So they had to be creative, and they found an entire lifestyle and a community that
was
for being like that. And so they fit right in. And so the business is quite peopled with them.
Guys, let's take a break so that I can tell you that this episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Blue Chew. How about a nice stiff dong for you? That's right. Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom by offering chewable tablets that make your dong better. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean by that? Stronger, longer lasting erections. It's a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Now, chewable is pretty cool, but a fraction of the cost, that's really a big deal because that crap is expensive when you try to go get it through a doctor with a pain in the ass visit where you got to whip out your pig and tell him, hey, can you, is there something that's the equivalent of, taping a popsicle stick to this thing? But you know, chemically? He goes, yeah, there's Viagra and Cialis. It's very expensive and your insurance doesn't cover it. Well, why go through any of that? Well, you can go to Blue Chew for an online prescription and have it shipped right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. You sign up at BlueChew.com. You consult with one of their licensed medical providers. And once you're approved, you receive your prescription within days. Do you understand? And it's the real deal. It's the same active ingredients with very little of the hassle beyond what you need to do legally because it is a licensed medical provider. They'll find the right ingredients and the right strength for your prescription. And you can chew them. You don't have to swallow them. Blue Chew's sildenafil and tadalafil tablets are made in the USA and lab tested. They're not some nonsense from, not pointing any fingers, China. So, if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And here's a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code KURT, K-U-R-T, at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code KURT, to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast. All right, back to the show. Yeah, no, I would say that sums up pretty perfectly how I felt. Like, Also, I was bored, we were very religious, like I said, when I was young. So I was just bored a lot, and I like to read. So I'd be so bored in church that I would be reading the Bible to pass the time so I could, because I don't want to hear. Like, I mean, the amount of, like, I mean, you're supposed to take notes. I remember that my mom, like, come on, take notes while they're giving I'm like, oh, okay, what, Jesus is good. I got it. Good thing I have this note. And, dude, if you watch my mother...
That's why they call it dogma. Dog doesn't know why they're doing the trick.
Yeah, and that what you just said, that feeling of... That's why I always can see somebody saying a thing that they know the adults will like when I see adults do it all the time. But that feeling I know so of, like, saying a thing I don't even understand what I'm saying that the adults are like, good job. Like, I just know that, and I've seen it. I see it, like... over and over again, that like beaming with pride for saying a thing. And that's what amazes me with that Christian person, because as somebody who's kind of doing that but has no clue, and then like it's amazing to watch a thing where somebody's being bullied to where they're like, okay, we got to protect this guy, and then like the guy lets them down, and it's just like an amazing like what comes of being connected.
He doesn't seem like he has a good handle on social interaction responses.
Oh, yeah.
Like that.
That's a for sure.
Is an easy thing to attack for some, but I would say.
You know who? Other people with the same condition that are a little bit better at it are the primary bullies. You know what I mean? Like, that's the amazing thing to me is.
And there's a lot of people resisting the other way with a lot of those same situations.
What do you mean? What do you mean resisting the other way?
There are people on the spectrum who are resisting against the bullies.
Well, I think it has to do with if you had like, how your parents taught you stuff. Like there's a lot of nurture to it too. So
absolutely nurture and nature together. Absolutely.
Yeah. And so it's like I don't know, the things now I can't, even though I didn't want to be a doomsday cult my whole life. I will say I'm surprised how unprotected people that I meet were growing up. Like the stories that people have told me, I went on tour with Barry. So Barry, I don't know if you know, was like the fucking equalizer. Like he was like Batman around the country helping people get justice. Well,
he told me the whole story when it first came back to his memories.
Yeah. But I would meet these people that he'd helped. Like, it was like a, you know, if you Highway to Heaven show, or like in every town we were in, there's these people that he helped them out. It was fucking amazing. And I'm trying to blank on why what I was linking that to.
Crimmins.
Yeah, yeah, but it like he had a but I don't remember why Crimmins relates to this thing that I just said. I just totally blanked out. I really miss Barry, man. I like it was so funny. Like, he's probably one of like the most wise, like, so that guy talked me out of suicide. Like, he helped me a lot. And then so we went on tour in comedy. His, as a comedian on tour, the exact opposite maturity and sensitivity. He was almost like kind of football jockish with the newer comics. It was like almost, I always loved Barry, but like, it was like seeing like how young you can be forever. Cause I was like, oh wow. It was like a completely different, like another adolescence or something. Cause I was like, dude, get back into comedy. Like, you know, cause he's a great comic, dude. Like, it was amazing. Like that guy had done, as a guy helping people, like compared to somebody who's got a stupid, like, you know, take your pick of these groups that he explained to me how they're all fake, how a lot of the stuff is just turf for people. Cause he'd done so much work to help people that had been assaulted in some way. And, he wasn't making money off it. that's one thing I liked about Jehovah's Witnesses, they weren't after your money. They were just after, you know, your youth and your entire life, but not your money. So there's still, even if it's a misguided thing that could be wrong, there's still that level of principle to it where you don't have a profit motive. I'm not any kind of even left-wing about shit generally person, but I know stuff like that. I don't trust it when there's like this profit motive. I only trust it when it's like a thing, like that's a thing he was obsessed to do, that he had to do. So you could trust it, you know, like it wasn't like
beyond the profit motive to do it. And when the drive comes from that level of sincerity, it's hard to hide.
Yeah. And I really like that. Like, that's why I got into watching Jimmy's show.
You can see his story tells you he means it.
Yeah. And I think people can sense that. And like, but there's a whole class of people, and it has to do with being raised on the internet too, but also some spectrum thing where they can't, it's like a form of, it's almost like context is like a higher dimension we can no longer peer into for some people. Like they, and it's not even like malicious. It's like a genuine thing. They genuinely can't understand, like input the right way. You know, I mean, maybe I can't even say the right way, cause it makes me question what up and down by the time I'm done hearing about it. I don't know. It's just amazing to think about like the amount of, like kind of needless, like ugly things there are.
Monetary greed can accomplish a lot of the same things that might look like someone was meeting the spectrum, metric.
Yeah.
Well, greed make that happen all on its own. That's the spectrum. It's a financial spectrum.
Yeah. You know what? That's a good point. I think about it.
Autistic, I would say rather the word is narcissistic and sociopathic.
Yeah, well,
those are the words.
There is a difference between.
Then it's not going to be a malfunction. It's the absolute absence of the function.
No, you're right. I think you're right. I had a guy as a body language expert on sometimes, which is really interesting. But I was, because you know, if you hear like, you know, between autism and what you just said, sociopath, like he said, there's a big difference, which is a lot of times people with autism, they want to connect with humans, but they can't. It's not the same as I don't need to connect with a human. I definitely know that thing of like a financial kind of spectrum where it's like, how, like if you had a joke about somebody with the Asperger's loves trains more than people, it's like money. Like how much is money trains?
By the way,
to
that's nurture. All nurture. It's not nature. And you can take people that were nothing like that, feed the nurture of this to them, and
yeah, right.
That dormant gene goes pop like popcorn, and suddenly now this is them from that.
Yeah, right.
You get the old one back then.
Yeah, it's what's going to express.
Even when the money's gone, it's the new one no matter what. You started the program and now it runs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, I do feel like many of my habits are like a groove in a record.
It's addiction.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Addiction to things. And there are people who are addicted to people.
Yeah.
And then there are people addicted to things. And the addiction part would be that the attention given to them is not always healthy or good for either of the participants or the drug or whatever, whereas these drugs might be healthy in a more controlled manner, or that friendship could be more healthy. And so that same can show up on a lot of things, like having material things. And then the people who you came up with in the business who started out being one kind of person until that money rolled in, and now they don't take your calls, and suddenly they're another kind of person now.
Yeah, right. Well, do you think that's
changed the chemistry in their head?
Do you think that that's I definitely have seen a few people, like, their process of becoming famous, like where I got to see how what happens, like, a now I will say, to, like, offhand, I would say a couple of them, like, I just feel like they were the same person the whole time, whether I saw it or not. Well, I'll give you an example, like Kevin Hart, I started with, who I like Kevin. I don't have anything against Kevin. And he took off very quickly, and he was always the same guy. Like, he was always like a star kind of guy when I met him. You know, like, I didn't feel like he went through some kind of change. Like, but a lot of times I'll be like, I really wonder of how much of it is it like, okay, you just got the window to be exactly who you actually are. You know, like, it, like, and you don't have to have the pretense of being something else anymore, because
you act right.
Yeah. So, and I don't know, I'm never sure which one is which. Like, I just, like, would have suspicions, but I genuinely sometimes don't know. Like, you, do you know people where you're like, oh, the money, like, changed you. You were not like this before.
Yeah. I think I have seen that a few times. More than once.
You know what but you know what I mean? Like, where you're like, genuinely, like, it's not like, oh, you were always like this. You're just able to do it now. Kind of like people are bad drunks, and it's like,
well, you know, you think you know someone is the old phrase, right? But and there's two ways to get to know somebody. One is, dump $1 billion on them, and the other is fear-inducing crisis.
Yeah, right.
Those are the two big revealers, you know. That's in the relationship, in love and marriage, a crisis will show you who everybody thought you had it all figured out till the crisis.
That's why I really loved Barry, because we almost died on tour in a car accident in Pennsylvania, driving some highway on black ice. And the driver, he's a complete asshole, by the way. The driver, he's like, he was not going faster than 65, but you can't go that fast on black ice. And he was just worried about getting to the show more than his and our lives. And we're next to a semi, okay? And it felt like a jet engine was sucking us in. We're going like 60, and we just start sliding into the trailer. So I'm in the passenger seat, and my head was gonna get chopped off. We just swerve right into the trailer. And I said, what the fuck? I said two times. It wasn't slow motion, it was very quick. And I'm like, well, I guess this is, I mean, I thought I was dead. I didn't duck. I just went, well, I guess I'm going to meet Jesus. I just remember thinking, like, I guess I'm going to die. And earlier on the trip, by the way, as an asshole, we had slipped and pulled out of it. And I go, well, I guess God's trap for us didn't. I said something like God, like a Titanic, not even God, something that hubris.
You thought that was the punchline. That was the setup.
Yeah, and I remember telling Barry that later. He goes, why'd you say that? So, man, we're going under the trailer.
Inside, man.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, we swerve the other way. And so the back that no one was sitting in, Barry was behind the driver. The back got caught into the bottom of the tractor, and the window blew in. And it, like, ripped the door off the hinge. We found out later, but it was still, like, stuck on the thing. And then we got dragged, and it spit us out, and we spun all the way in the center of the highway into this, like, you know, grassy area. And we're just sitting there. It was, so I felt high. I mean, I just say, when we were sitting there, I felt, me and Barry were like, it was funny. It was like, I felt great. Me and him were like, we're like, oh, we're alive. Like, the guy driving is like weeping. And he's like, oh, I screwed up my life. Because he didn't have insurance. He didn't get insurance on the rental. This asshole almost died. And all he's thinking about is like the consequences to his like whatever minor business
mechanism that you can throw a fishing hook into at any time.
Yeah, and Barry always didn't like this guy when I should have listened to him because he was right. And he goes, that's when you know, like when you want to be in a foxhole with somebody. I remember he said to me, he's like, I would be in a foxhole with Metzger. Like, because it was, we were like, we had the same feeling of like, oh, we're alive and it's like great. And it's like, we're comforting this idiot. Like, hey, don't, dude, we'll figure it out. You don't have to, like, it was really amazing watching like the different, because that was such a, like, oh, I was at, it was so comforting because I thought I was going to die a lot of times, but it was mostly my fault, like almost every single time. So I didn't, you know, call nine. I drank 5 hour energy and edible kind of.
That was a close call, man.
Yeah, but this,
on that 5 hour energy drink there.
Yeah, I thought I was going to die for 5 hours, but this was so out of my hands. It was just unbelievably comforting. Like, it was like, oh yeah, you don't get any, I mean, I think I probably, me saying something did have something to do with that. I still think that because it's such a hilarious setup punchline to just fuck with me like that. Like, you know, that could be my pattern seeking monkey brain, but
gun.
Yeah, like a, we put out a hold on a minute. I mean, it's definitely that kind of feeling, but that, in fact, the feeling went away, I have to say, unfortunately, pretty quickly, but the feeling of like not really being like, oh, I'm going to die. And it could be for any fucking reason. And you don't have any, you really don't have any say in it, even if you think you do. So you don't have to have that, you know, there's like a liberating feeling that I got from it that went away as soon as the tensions of life piled up again. But I do remember it. I could do that as a vacation, like once a year, just almost die. I got to think.
Welcome to Close Call Resorts.
Yeah, Close Call Resorts is a good.
Start pumping. Now watch those steps. They're not all stable going up to your bungalow.
You had three good sketch ideas so far from what I remember from the beginning of this. All right, guys, I'd like to take a quick break to talk about Johnny Apple CBD. Do you use CBD? I have used CBT many a time because I got back problems. Got in a car accident and I tore, it was just a ligament was pulled. It wasn't even any kind of long-term thing other than the pain of it. And man, I was on tour. I was in agony and somebody gave me CBD gummies, good ones. The thing is you have to get good ones. And I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe how it relaxed my back muscles. So I've used it. I know it works, but you got to get good CBD. That's just what it is. Now, luckily, we live in an age where people make lab-tested, high-quality CBD. People like Johnny Apple CBD. Okay? So if you're a fan of CBD, you got to stock up at Johnny Apple CBD where they have ultra-high-purity, lab-tested CBD. How many times do I have to say CBD to you? Here's the products I want to tell you about. Nighttime gummies utilize CBN to knock you out better than NyQuil or Benadryl ever could. CBN, you ask? What is that? A new news station? No, it's a product from Johnny Apple CBD. They have discrete disposable vaporizer devices with different effects, perfect for on the go or at a concert. They have tinctures you can put in your morning coffee to reduce the jitters. It's CBD, so it doesn't make your head high. It makes your muscles high, and it's quite a relief. Johnny Apple CBD has everything and everything you can save 20% off with the code KURT, Kurt, that's my name. That's Johnny Apple CBD. Go to jacbd.com, jacbd.com, and use promo code Kurt to save 20% off store-wide. Support Johnny Apple CBD and support the show. Oh, we went long, too. Rick, thanks for coming on, dude. I want to promote your thing.
Yes, thanks. I have a comedy special that's on Amazon Prime. It's called Rick Overton's Set List Special, and it's an hour that I improvise. It's an improvised one-hour comedy special. You can, if you got Prime, you can watch it for free.
Yeah, dude, I watched it, and I was like, I mean, it made me want to do that set list again. It looked like fun. Like, that was like a cool, did you just throw up whatever you did, too? You didn't do any kind of editing on it, or...
Well, a little bit of cutting down of just, I got myself in so much trouble a couple of times that it's like, because I really try to get, I dive head first into and it doesn't always pay the same when you come poke out the other side. And so,
you know, that's interesting. I like watching somebody do that.
You know,
I was thinking watching it. Is you,
adrenaline, like, and the danger I like about it, you know, like what the
I think that's the appeal of seeing something like that. Felt like you could do like a few of them, like, you know, I don't know what the deals are with Amazon or whatever, but it seemed like the kind of thing that you could do as a YouTube series of every attempt of you doing the set list thing. Because people, something like that's interesting. People, this is what I've learned from doing stuff online, like people like getting in on watching you. Something like that, especially.
I don't know if that footage is even around anymore. It might be on a database somewhere if it didn't get cleared.
Yeah, but you could do that. Like, you could just put up videos of you doing that as a series, you know, like that. Because it was like, it's just an interesting thing. I recommend it to anybody listening.
I'm up on YouTube with a few set lists.
Oh, you are?
I've got a few up.
I guess I'm saying take Troy's idea.
Start to do it, Troy. Yeah. It was at different venues. So I have those, but I really think that the ease of this is you don't need to work another year to get your next special ready.
Oh yeah.
I could go tomorrow night and do it. And the night after I could do the next one.
Yeah. I feel it's two different things.
Than writing those questions to keep,
you know, what probably the best is.
And that's where Troy has to, and you know, Prevens would do all that.
Well, you know, what probably best is like, because now even making an hour is such like an old like I was going to do my next hour a while back, and I have to make a new one because it got like stale from because I hadn't filmed it. But now you don't even, people just, you put up like single, like, so let's say Troy gives you one, like Cannibal Disappointment was one of them on yours. You just put that up as a thing and just put up clips of each one.
If you check on YouTube, you'll see I got a bunch up.
Yeah,
that's
the way you pass everything, is like these bite-sized bits. People like, I mean, my attention span, I notice, is like a lot lower because I don't really watch TV anymore. I watch mostly like short YouTube things, or I'm working on Instagrams for Kyle. So that,
yeah, you bet.
I almost would rather watch somebody summarizing a show than the show now.
You got like, got some funny stuff, you two.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, you should come do it. We're doing a Christmas.
That's really funny.
We're making a Christmas special, which would be pretty funny, of all the celebrity. We're doing a celebrity Christmas special of all his impressions. That'd be pretty good. If you want to do, let me, I have to talk to him after this. That'd be pretty cool. All right, Rick, thank you so much, man. I really appreciate you coming on, dude.
Kurt, it was really a treat. Always a pleasure, my friend. I look forward to seeing you next time.
All right. Thank you, guys. And check out Comedy Legend Rick Overton on Amazon Prime for free. Why don't you? And then my next road dates are, I'm at the Kenosha Comedy Club on January 28th and 29th. I remembered my dates to plug this time. All right, that's our show. Because I can't get right. Because I can't get right. Yeah. You're listening to Can't Get Right.